Let's move on to the blockade, a part of the war that caused a good deal of tension between the United States, the North, and the Europeans. It was especially important during the first year of the war, not because it stopped all foreign shipping coming into the Confederacy or Confederate shipping going out, which it certainly did not, but because it posed legal and political questions that were difficult for the North. European nations issued proclamations of neutrality in the late spring and summer of 1861. Great Britain's came on May the 12th. They thus recognized the belligerent status of the Confederacy in the language of international law. If both sides were not belligerents, there'd be no need to issue a proclamation of neutrality. But here the British and the French are saying, we recognize the belligerent status of the Confederacy. Now that meant a number of things under international law. It meant the South could contract for loans and purchase supplies in neutral countries, and could exercise belligerent rights on the high seas. In other words, could commission privateers to prey on United States shipping. It brought rejoicing in the South, this recognition of belligerent rights, and concern in the North, because both sides thought that recognition of belligerency was perhaps a prelude to formal diplomatic recognition. Now, the question of whether to recognize belligerent status, I think, seemed largely uncomplicated to the European powers. The Lincoln government might be trying to finesse the question of whether the Confederate states were a nation or were really just states temporarily under the control of evil people, but really still in the United States. When London and Paris looked at what was going on in America, they saw a Confederate nation with a written constitution, with a formal government, with an army in the field, with a foreign policy, and they said, that's a belligerent. And the United States, after all, is blockading the Confederacy. That also suggests that they're both belligerent. So it seemed an easy call to the Europeans. It upset many in the North. Secretary of State William Henry Seward was livid when he heard about this. He went to Charles Sumner at one point and said, God damn them. God damn them. I'll give them hell, talking about the British especially. He said, maybe we ought to start a war with Britain. Maybe it's time to go back to the bad old days when we don't get along with Britain anymore. That was Seward's sort of gut reaction to what was going on during this phase. But as soon became clear, the Europeans did not see belligerency as prelude to formal recognition. Their proclamations of neutrality, in fact, favored the North over the long haul because they constituted official acceptance of the blockade. Now, international law said a blockade must be effective to be legally binding on neutral nations. The Union blockade wasn't effective, as we've already seen, couldn't be early on. But England did not challenge this. The reason was that as a maritime power, Britain often blockaded its enemies. And Britain always had argued that a blockade was legal if the patrolling ships, which were usually British, of course, made an attempt to prevent neutral ships from moving in and out of the ports of the nation that Britain was opposed to. To insist that the Union blockade, in fact, cover every southern port might come back to haunt the British down the road. And so the British said, yes, we will accept this as a blockade. The North is trying to blockade the Confederacy, even if they're not sealing every port. Now, the United States, as a neutral in earlier wars, had taken the opposite position. You can't blockade us, they would say to Great Britain, unless you really blockade us. Unless you can seal off every port, it's not really a blockade. Thus, the U.S. Had reversed its argument here. The Confederacy was now arguing the old United States position. This isn't a real blockade unless you really seal us off. But Britain did accept it. Britain also accepted the North's application of what was called the doctrine of continuous voyage, which meant that the United States could intercept ships traveling between neutral harbors if there was evidence that the cargoes were destined eventually to go to the Confederacy. For example, if a cargo was going from London to Bermuda to neutral ports, but in fact was going to end up in Charleston, that would be considered a continuous voyage from London to Charleston, even though there was an intermediate neutral stop.